All right, so Tzuvah Merabonon.
Can I ask a question on last week?
It's 25. Can last week, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I thought about it.
All right, so this is Choveret Esrim Chamesh 25. A very interesting topic. Kavanah v'hefsek b'tfilat amida. Kavanah, which will be our... actually, we'll do Kavanah and Hefsek tonight. All right, so new Kavanah is the bane of all Jews. Chazal say it's very difficult for us to sustain Kavanah for any long period of time, except Kavanah is a stock and trade of our tefillah. Without Kavanah, what exactly are we doing? We're mouthing words like trained monkeys. New, so how do you do it? He quotes the Tur first in number one. It's an Aruch Chaim Siman Tzadi Ches, Machshavto Ketzad. How should a person's thoughts be arranged during davening? Meaning Shmon Esrei, Titania, Hamispalel Tzor Shechaven Libo. Person who davens has to focus his mind. Shenemar Tachin Libo. You have to prepare. Actually, have to undergo preparations before, mental preparations. Perish. Shechaven Perish Hamilos Shemotzi Besvasov. Kavon, its simplest sense, means understand the words. Know what the words say. Now, know what the words mean is. One level, I mean, actually, it's multifaceted. One is knowing what the words mean. Knowing what the words mean are going to assist a person in phraseology, right? How often is that troubling in our world? Because people don't understand the words they're saying. The phraseology, the way they group those words, make the words incoherent to a Hebrew speaker. Nonetheless, that's Kavana on the simplest level. Know what you're saying. So, no, you want to use a sitter? Anyone who's not a native Hebrew speaker should use a sitter with a translation, because if they struggle with a word, then they should try to look up right next to where the word is, and they'll understand what the word means. And we've had different variations over the years. I think the revolutionary one was the Mitsuda sitter, which I came not to like after a few years. Linear, right. Mm-hmm. And then you had, I think, Artscope published a... what do they call that? What's that?
Interlinear.
Interlinear, right. You have to read the English backwards from because
backwards,
it's under the word.
Word, it's under the word.
Right, but you're reading right to left, and then you're going left to right. So it's not going to make sense the way it's being read. Right? Am I correct, Ari? You can't read that English left to right. You have to read the English right to left also. Nonetheless, it does assist. If you need a specific word, it's right underneath, and that helps. Look, you reach a level also that the translation will be a distraction if you understand all the words. But nonetheless, Perish Hamilim is the ground floor. Some will say it's the essence of Kavanah, but certainly it's the ground floor. Yachshov Keilu Shechina Kenegdo. You have to think as if the Shechina is right in front of you. Shenemar Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. I've set God before me always. V'yoyir Hakavanah V'yosukal Machshava Satordos Oso Achetisha Machshavto V'Kavanaso Zaka B'Tfilaso. You have to arouse the Kavanah. You have to remove all intrusive thoughts from your mind until your mind and your intent are perfectly clear. What does it mean? Keilu Shechina Kenegdos. This is the Gemara in the Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Beis. So the Pnei Yoshua is a very interesting pshat. He said that is what we're supposed to think about when we say the word again and again in the davening, Atah. Baruch Atah, Hashem. What's Atah? You? Shechina Kenegdo. The Shechina is right in front of you. That's why he's saying Atah. V'yachshov ki'ilu hoya medaber lifnei melech basa v'dom shayom kan l'mocha bekever ha'yimassad ha'dvar v'machavim b'em yofer l'val yikoshel. You should think as well, if you were standing before King of Flesh and Blood, who's here today and gone tomorrow, you'd make sure that you have your thoughts arranged and you'd speak in a way that was intelligible. You'd have everything arranged lest you stumble. That's before flesh and blood king, or employer for that matter. Certainly then before God, the King of Kings. So before God, it's an even higher level, because God not only knows our speech, when audible, can be understood by others as well, but he reads our minds too. He knows our thoughts. Hayotzer yachad libam, meiv mekol masayim. Yotzer yachad libam, whatever's in our thoughts, so God is aware of that as well. So therefore, our machshavos have to be as pristine as possible. V'chein hayu osin chasin hashimase, shem ezbodedim u'machavnim betfilason, ad shemagin l'spashtus agashmios, ulizgabers ruach hasichlis, ad shehayu magiim karav l'maylas hanavuah. See, the tour ends by saying that's what the early pious people, the Anshei Maisa, did. They would isolate themselves and have kavana in davening until they had almost a separation from their body. They felt detached from the material world. They felt that the ruach hasichlis, the intellectual, completely overwhelmed them, and they reached almost the level of nevuah. What's the level of nevuah? The Navi almost entirely loses his sense of physicality, and the intellect of the Navi becomes attached to the Chochmas Elyon, and that's how the message is delivered to the Navi. That's the tour. All right, the Shulchan Aruch in Tzari Ches, if Aleph, basically says the exact same words. It's almost a paraphrase. Just the end of the first paragraph. Vim tavalo machshava acheres besocha tefila yishtok ad shetisbata machshava. If a stray thought enters during the davening, you should be silent. Don't continue to mouth the words. Silent until that thought passes, or tisbatel, until you are able to eliminate that thought. You should think also things that bring to humility. And direct them to our Father in Heaven. You shouldn't think about things that involve levity, you know, what you're doing after davening, or your meeting, or a joke someone just sent you, etc. But all those machshavos should be eradicated from the mind. Ramah, v'yachashov kodem atfilo miromo sakel yisale v'shiflus adam. Before davening, you should ponder for a moment at least the exaltedness of God, the transcendence of God, versus the lowliness of man. V'yaser kol ta'anugei ha'odom ilibo. He should remove any thoughts of ta'anug, right? That's why we say it's hard to daven Shabbos morning when you smell the chalent already from downstairs. You have to remove from the mind all tanugay of this world. The asur la'adam, part of tanugam is this too. The asur la'adam l'nasheg banav haktan b'beis haknesses. Kedei l'kbar b'libo shein ava kavas ha'makom. You're not allowed even to kiss small children in shul. So that you should affix in your heart, in your mind, that there's no love like love of God. And shul is an place where we express love of God and not love of any human being, even children, which is very, very difficult. No, it comes out from here that kavana has two basic ingredients. One, hitrakzut b'ma shenemar, concentration on what is being said, haynu, eir shmilos atfilo, keeping in mind the meaning of the words, and secondly, not just the words, but in a general sense, Rikus ha-machshava ba'amidu lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'asarat machshavot zarot. Focusing the machshava while standing before God and removing all alien thoughts from one's mind. Yes?
So amazing that, right now that they have all these sidurim coming out in English, after so many years having these sidurim, people are now understanding the Perush HaMilas.
Yes, that's true. Oh, right, those, correct, right. Yes, that is true. Right, until the translations came out, yeah. That's right. I was once at a rabbinical conference, and someone was lamenting how difficult it is to have kavana, all right? And I suggested to someone, why don't you change your sitter? And he laughed at me and said, well, the words are the same. I said, of course the words are the same. But even when you change the pagination and you're looking at it, you have a different perspective. And he thought it was a good idea. If you change your sitter on occasion, then you'll get a different perspective. And that itself may help you focus.
Even by Tillum too. People say Tillum every day.
Right.
Oh, I'm saying for myself.
You mean it becomes by rote after a time? Yes, no question about that. I want to add one other point. Yeah, the Torah mentioned at the end of the Hasidim and Anshei Masa, Hoyum Hizbodedim. Hizbodedus means to be alone. All right. Now, the early Hasidim did that, as Marty would know, like the Baal Shem Tov. They go into the forest and pray. Alone. They go into the forest to daven by themselves. All right. There's something to be said for it. I'm not a forest necessarily, but davening alone. All right. Right. I only tell the story because he wrote about it. Rabbi Feldman from Atlanta, Manuel Feldman, who knew me well, writes in Tales Out of Shul that every now and then he would stay home, daven Meyer by himself, because he felt there's a row, people looking at him all the time, and people waiting for him to finish, and it's not the same davening.
So every, they daven in a separate room. Right. They're not davening with the kids.
That's correct.
Right. They daven in a room right off.
Yes.
Right adjacent to it.
So he felt it was, at least a bit Seymour, though, because they could answer Kedusha if it came to that. But he felt that every now and then he needed just to daven alone. His bodidus, right? I personally found the opposite, that if I ever have to daven alone, I don't think it helps my kavan at all. But what you say is true. Lubavitcher Rebbe davened for years in a room on top of the Beis Medrash. We could hear what's going on, but out of eyesight of the people below. The reason being, they were staring at him. So he felt staring at him ruined his davening, but worse, ruined their davening. Because people can't daven staring at a person. And he didn't want to be that type of object. He'd wrap his head in a talus and hide from the people. So that, his bodidus, was a Hasidic trait. The misnagdim never caught on, for the simple reason that you can't just blow off tefillah b'tzibur if you need it. But, you know, if it's available to you. But nonetheless, there is something to be said. You see, the Torah mentions it as well. That as an aid to kavana, and I've heard from people, I've heard this from a lot of women especially, that look, they're not obligated to feel it and see what to begin with, and some say they just daven better at home, especially if it's noisy in the women's section. Well, daven at home, I've told them, look, you're losing out on Kriyas HaTorah, so you're losing out on answering Kedusha, Gaddish, Baruch Hu.
Got the camera for all those people, the camera that we have here.
Yes, right.
They could be alone and doing
it by I guess so, yeah. Yeah, it does help on Shabbos, though. Right. But it is, bless you, but it is an Indian. If they daven better at home, and they're not obligated to feel a bit sober, I might just say they have daven and shul.
Somebody wrote you a letter once that said...
Some wrote me not only one person. I've received that letter a number of times over the years. They just feel better davening alone. If they could talk to God, Hashgachah, plenty of people talk to, some of them sitting at this table.
there are individuals that are constant distractions.
There's no question about that.
And there's no way to stop them.
I'll tell you why. Because many people just cannot disconnect from the material world. It's painful. People are so rooted in Gashmius. They can't disconnect. You'll hear before, there's such a pithy way to understand. I quoted the Gemara before, the Mincha Meir of today, about the Gemara in Shabbos says that the Am Haaretz die if they refer to a base, Knesset is a base Am. All right? And I gave Rav Kook's shot in base Am. But when I finished, I thought to myself, what's a base Am, a Beit Am? A house of the people?
Convention home.
It means a person who goes to shul to see his friends. Exactly. A social environment. If you see the house of tefillah as a social environment, that's a beis am. Am Haaretz die because of that. That's avon, their great sin. It is a great sin. And it's not a sin that is uncommon in our world, that people come to shul primarily to see their friend. It's a healthier way. You see a friend in shul, you go to a bar. Ah, the bar is, you know, for low lives. I'm going to go see my friends in shul. But then you're not really you're not really there for davening, and it always shows. If you're not there to daven, so there's no kavana. There's no kavana. What is even more talking? Tefillah involves a disconnect. First, understand the place, that the place itself is set apart from the Olam HaGashmi. But even beyond that, once you're inside, it's to recognize that you're there for a specific purpose, for a limited amount of time, and it has to be exploited. All right, Mishnah Berurah says, Perish Amilos, V'al Yechaven Adam B'Shemos V'Yichudim. That's not really part of the way we look at it, except maybe for some of us. You shouldn't get involved in all those esoteric kavanos of the Ari. You ever see the siddur that the Moroccans use, for example, in their minyan over the Shem Hashem, all different types of names and letters and configurations of the Shem Hashem, the Shem Adnus, different vowels, etc. All of them have a meaning. It's a Kabbalistic meaning. But the Mishnah Berurah says, don't get involved in that. Rak yispal kipshuto lohaven advorn bekavonas halev im lo mishu ba besod Hashem. If you're not privy to God's secrets, to this esoterica, then just focus on what the words mean. Dim lo hochi chas v'shom akalkol b'zaharbe. If you get involved in the sodos, you don't know what they mean, you wind up impairing your tefillah, not enhancing it. And he quotes the Pnei Yoshua that these kavonos that the Shulchan Aruch mentions, what the Mechaba mentioned, to think the Shechina is before you and to get rid of all stray thoughts, and those are preliminaries to tefillah. You can't be davening and think these thoughts. You have to have these thoughts before you daven, so your mind is already clear. So from the Pnei Yeshua, it is clear. Shirikos ha-machshava ba-mida l'fnei ha-shechina v'agbarat koach ha-sichli tzrichim le-yasot l'fnei ha-tfilo ki chelik mitalech ha-chana eleha. All these have to be done as preliminaries to tfilo, as preparation, v'lo b'shat ha-tfilo atzma, not during the time davening itself. And this is supported by the Rambam in Hilchos Tfilo, Perek Dalet, Halacha Tezayin. Keitzid ha-kavana, what is kavana? Shifanas libo mikol ha-machshavos. You should remove all thoughts from your mind. V'yira atzmo kilu ha-omei lifnei ha-shechina. Now you see how the Torah copied this language later, but it's from the Gemara. L'fichach tzorch leishev ma'ad kodem ha-tfilo, kedei l'chavin libo. You should sit down a little. Settle yourself. Ashachas, we are sitting, but it means mincha, ma'ariv. Settle yourself a little. V'charkach yispa benachas uvasachanun. Then you'll daven benachas gently uvasachanunim as an act of supplication. V'lo yaseh tfiloso k'misha hu nosei masoi v'mashlicha v'holeklo. This is also a big failing. You shouldn't make your tefillah into just the removal of a burden that you want to throw off. It was, like I say, the checklist. Every day the Jew wakes up with a checklist, and he checks it off. He checks off Ashachis, checks off Mincha, checks off Tefillin, etc. It's not a checklist. It's something that is supposed to be internalized and transformative. L'fichach tzorch leishev ma'ad achar tefillah v'achagach yipater. So too, after tefillah, you need a cooling down time. You have to sit down a little. And then you'll leave. You can't rush in, rush out. Chassidim arishonim yishon shorachas kono tefillah, shorachas lachar tefillah, marichim b'tefillah shor. The early chassidim, they would wait an hour before, an hour after. They would daven for an hour. All right, so Chazal already, a little later, the Rishon already said, they didn't mean a shor in terms of an hour. Full hour, because it's 9 hours a day, and they're not really working or learning that much. But it means a period of time. You don't rush into the davening, you don't rush out of the davening. And if you rush into it, you're not prepared. And if you rush out of it, not much happened during the davening. It has to be done all v'nachat.
You know, the Torah, yeah. Number one, when he says, Manshei Maisa, you misquoted him. How do we know they were misquoted him by tefillah? Maybe they were misquoted him before tefillah.
Well, it says bechavanim b'tfiloson.
Yeah,
they would have kavanim. That's how they gained kavanim tefillah.
But it doesn't say that they were davening.
Yeah, bechavanim b'tfiloson. Atri l'spashas hagashmius. Yeah, those are the words bechavanim b'tfiloson. If they're doing it before, it's a different matter. But if you're doing it before, then you join people is already a hefzeg. It's hard to get your mind into a. It's not the better from hispodidus. And then before you exercise the benefit, go rejoin people. People are the antithesis of his bodhidus. All right, the Ramah had mentioned about kissing children in shul, and here the Mishnah Berurah adds the general point about bringing children to shul. Bonavaktanim, v'shalok kore tigar, Al Hamevim Yodim Levesa Knesses. The Shlomo was critical of people brought children to shul. I mean, small children. V'hayduk tanim shadayin le'igil l'chinuch. Small children, not yet the age where they could be educated. For the reason, mitam, ki ha'yeladim misachakim urak nevesa knesses. Because children, what do they do? They play, they dance. I guess the adults do the same. But they play, they dance, mechalim kudushes beis haknesses. V'gam uvalbalim dasa mispalim. They desecrate the sanctity of the shul, and they disrupt other people. V'od gam, here's the main thing, if you ask me. V'od gam ki yazkinu lo yosumim hagam hara. When they get older, they're not going to deviate. Asher nischanchu b'yaldusam l'shtageh l'vazos kedushas beis haknesses, because they became habituated to playing around in shul. And this is the point I made before about the Beit Am. If your father goes to shul to see his friends, so you go to shul to see your friends. And then the disease is just transferred from generation to generation. So if you bring a child to shul, and even if you bring a child dolls and his toys and coloring books, etc., shul becomes an extension of the playgrounds. What do you gain by it? On the contrary.
So,
what's that? Bad, it is chinuch. It's bad chinuch. It's the opposite of chinuch. It's anti-chinuch. And I've made this point repeatedly ranting about over the years, that parents spend hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to make their kids Jews. They bring to shul and just they ruin it, because they ruin it by the way they behave, and they don't try to inculcate proper deportment to the children while they're in shul. So shul becomes a playground. I could run through the halls here, I could run in the park, it's all the same. And that's a problem. Every couple of years, you have new children grow up. They think they've discovered everything. So every couple of years, I find the kids playing ball in shul, not in the parking lot, in shul on Shabbos. They bring a ball. I mean, once years ago, maybe 5-6 years ago, they're playing handball off the kotel. All right, right here. But why? So look, we have groups. We have davening. You have to choose your pleasure. But it can't be just running around with the building as the babysitter, because they grow up nischanchu b'yaldusim l'shtageya. They grow up to be meshuganis. That's exactly what he's saying. And they never develop the proper attitude towards the shul. Avali kishigil l'chinuch. And by the way, you can't blame the children. I was babysitting last week. It's a rare event. They trust me alone with a small child. So I think it was a Sunday, I brought my grandson, who's 2, to Mincha, all right? And lo and behold, he sat the whole time. 10 minutes, he sat in the seat, watched. He had a very good time. He wanted to come. But otherwise, a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, it's expecting too much of them to sit quietly. It's not fair. It's not fair for a parent to bring a child to shul and then keep shushing the child, or give the child a sitter till he doesn't know what's in it. It's not fair, because you are taking the child's natural curiosity and even natural wildness and suppressing it without giving him an outlet. So that's also unhealthy. So people have to use seichel. Rav Aminir, we'll get to this next week, Mincha Maariv. Right, I mean, so many little kids are brought to shul now so that the father is a big hero. He babysits, so the mother has a couple hours off. But the shul is not for that either, all right? I mean, would you ever take your kids to the office, during the middle of the work day, so give your wife a couple hours off? Of course not. So why would we think the shul serves that purpose?
All right. The
only for hakel, not hakel, is it? But
I'm modern.
I mean, you see it what's the opposite of modern Orthodox? Antiquated Orthodox. Even the antiquated Orthodox, the same thing. Are you sure? I'm not talking about your family. I'm saying others.
You don't see it.
All right. I've dabbled in that world on occasion. I see it also.
That's because I wonder, the mothers never go to shul in the yeshivish world.
Oh, that could be. I've seen it.
The women don't go to shul, period, on Shabbos.
Conversely, when the children reach the age of education, what's greater than educating them how to conduct themselves in a shul? Adarabba, yivienu to the beis haknesses. Then it's the obligation of the father to bring the children to shul. Vilam dehu orchos chayim, leshe be'emu v'yiro. And they teach the child had to sit with awe, with dread. Don't let him jump around. Teach him to say Amen, right? I had my grandson say Amen last week, first time, too. I told him to say it.
They didn't have groups then.
What?
There were no groups.
No groups. No groups. No team in it either, by the way.
That's good.
All right, Ein Tanit Beil Yo, Godel Ha'onas Sheyesh La'ov Sheminiach Es Beno Lanos Devorm Shel Hebo V'Tiflus Beves HaKnesses. Great is the punishment of the father who leaves his child just to answer, to involve himself in inanities in the shul, because it is the antithesis of Chinuch. All right, so now we say Perish HaMilim. What are we talking? Is it Me'akev? Him coming to perish a milim shenemer ma'akev b'di avad, and what's the halach of a person who did not concentrate in tefillah, lost focus, said words without thinking about them? So mi pashtu de Shulchan Aruch deleil mashma. The simple words of the Shulchan Aruch would seem to mean sheyesh nechova gemur litkaven leperish a milim shenemer pachol tefillah. It's an absolute obligation to understand the words that you're saying and have them concentrate on them. But the Shulchan Aruch elsewhere says something different. It's Kuf Aleph, Sif Aleph. So this is Kuf Aleph, Sif Aleph versus Tzadi Ches Sif Aleph. Here's a Shulchan Aruch. Hamaspal Tzor Shichavim B'chol HaBrachos. V'men Yochol L'chavim B'chula L'fachos Shichavim B'avos. You daven Shemoneh Esrei, you must have Kavanah in all the Brachos. If you can't have Kavanah, at least have Kavanah in the first Bracha, Avos. Im Lo Kivein B'Avos, Afal Pisha Kivein B'Shchol HaShar, Yachazor V'Yispal. If you're not Kavanah in Avos, but you did in the others, still, go back and daven again. Repeat the bracha. That's the mechaber. V'ho ramo, v'ho idno, ein chosim b'shvil chesron kavana. Today we don't say the Shemoneh Esrei again because of a deficiency in kavana. Sha'af b'chazara, karavu shlo yichavein, im kein loma yachzor. Because even if you say it again, who's to say kavana will be any better the second time around? So therefore, to avoid brachas levatala, we don't go back. All right, so Mechaber here said, at least have Kavana in Ovos, not the Shar Tefillah. But before it said, in Tzadiches, Hamispal Tzor Shechavim B'Liv HaPerish HaMilos. So how do you reconcile those two opinions? So here they contradict each other, both in the Shulchan Aruch. So here he quotes a very famous passage of Reb Chaim Brisker. It's the Chidush Reb Chaim on the Rambam. And Reb Chaim says, there are two dinim in Kavana. And here's the Chidush Reb Chaim Halevi. Trei gavne kavona sheish betfila. Ha'achas, kavona shal perish advarim v'yisodo din kavona. That's the very foundation of the mitzvah of kavona, the chiyuv of kavona. Understand what the words, are. But there's a separate type of kavona. Shechavein shu'omei betfila lufnei Hashem. You have to have in mind that you're standing in prayer before God. That's as the Rambam writes. Umay kavano, shifanas libo mikol machshavos v'yir atzmo kilo omid lifnei hashchina. You have to see yourself as standing before the divine presence. V'nira de kavano zo, this kavano of amida lifnei Hashem, ain't omidin kavano, rakshu me'etzim maaseh tefillah. It's not a din of kavano, but it's a din in the maaseh tefillah. V'mein libo panui, v'niras atzmo shomid lifnei Hashem uspalel, but if his heart is not clear, free, unencumbered, and he does not see himself as Omid Lifnei Hashem, meaning he loses sight of the fact he's standing before God, ain't a Masa Tefillah. It's not a Masa Tefillah, very B'chal Misasek. He's a Misasek. Someone's acting casually, unthinkingly. De'ein bo din Masa. V'karchacha ma'keves kavana zo b'chol ha'tefillah. That kavana is indispensable throughout the tefillah. Even if you lose sight of the words, you always have to be aware you're standing before God. De'memokom shoyi Misasek. Dino close bal klal. If you're a misasek, it's like you never davened. Ukeilu dileg milos el. It's if you left out these words. Valo vaday, valo uvaday. De leinyan etzem atvila kol hayutes brachos ma'akvin. So it replies to all of them. So here Reb Chaim differed. If we just break it down into a brisker elements, we would say like this, that there are two types of kavana. One, and even though I use the term maisa tefillah in the second one, I think it just flows naturally and better the other way. The first is kavana perish hamilim. That's a din in the chefzah shel tefillah. Your chefzah tefillah requires that you understand what you're saying, otherwise it's not a tefillah. You don't know what you're saying, you can't be davening. But the second is not a din in the chefzah shel tefillah, it's a din in the gavra mispalel. The gavra mispalel, the fundamental position of the person who's davening has to be the recognition that he's standing before God. That's it. If you lose sight of the fact you're standing before God, so what are you doing? Where are you? And of course, it's very difficult. I mean, at times, you know, it's the old yeshiva's joke that the people, when they finish Mon Esrei, they should have to bench Gomel and say Tfilas HaDerech before, because they've been all over the world in the 3 minutes it took them to say the Shemon Esrei, right? That's a Midl Lefnei Hashem. You always have to, if you're not Omid Lefnei Hashem, there's no Gavra HaMespalel, you're a Misasek. If you're a Misasek, then you didn't do anything. Now Reb Chaim would say, in that case you have to daven again, because you didn't do it, at all. Nonetheless, the Yabia Omer, Chacham Ovadia says that this is with the same din of the Ramah here as well. At least if you had the awareness of a Amidu Lefnei Hashem at one point in the davening, in the Shemon Esrei, that suffices. If you didn't have the entire time, Chacham says you forfeit the bracha, so here Chacham Ovadia said you would not repeat the Shemon Esrei if you became aware that you were not conscious of HaKadosh Baruch Hu during a smaller, just a number of brachos. Okay. So that's Reb Chaim's famous hakir here. Two types of kavana, Amidah Lefnei Hashem and Perish Hamilim.
The Amidah for Hashem comes before Perish Hamilim.
No question about it, because, it has to. I think it's simultaneous, but the truth is, you need it the whole davening, all right? Perish Hamilim certainly need the whole davening, because you say Psukkah Nezirma, not understanding it. It is Shemon Esrei, yeah. But Amidah Lefnei Hashem is Shemon Esrei.
Right.
But they're intertwined. You know, they're two different concepts, two different aspects of Kavanah that intersect, even though they remain distinct. What's the Avira? How do you go about the davening? So here's the Mechaber in Tzadi Chesiv Gimel. Yispalel derech tachanunim. You daven in a way of supplication. Kirosh hamivakesh b'pesach. Like a poor person at the door to your home. Meaning humility, a sense of deference, sense of gratitude. Uvenachas, gently. V'shotira olav kimaso. It shouldn't be like a burden that you have to just, you know, get it over with. And here the Mishnah Berurah says, "Perish." Let's say you should say petachanunim, but let's say you don't, and you're davening because you have to daven. How can you not daven? So it's not right. Umotzarch lizarbas, you'd be very careful about it. Umikal makam b'diavad, afil imlo amr olshem tachanunim, lo yachsov yispal. You don't have to daven again, all right? But nonetheless, you have all these gradations, and all this is part of tefillah, and the bad news is it's difficult. The good news is we have three times a day to get it right. Three times a day, every day, four on Shabbos, to get it right. So therefore, we have the ability to practice as well. Okay, one last area, and that's Hefsek in the Shemon Esrei. What if you have to be Mafsek? So we took this up in related form a few weeks ago. Here the Mechaber says in Kuf Dalid, Hayim espal b'derech uvob behema ukaron kenegdo. You're davening on the road, and an animal, think a bull or a wagon, think a truck, starts bearing down on you. You're davening Shemon Esrei, all right, as the train comes closer and closer, your kavana begins to wander. What do? Yatim en aderech v'lo yafsik. So you move away. You turn to the side of the road and you keep davening. Av be'inyan acher ein lotzeis mekomo achi matfilos. In a general sense, you wouldn't leave your place, move until you finish the tefila. Elam kenu b'tachan shalach tefila. Except if you're saying already netzer l'shoni meira. Vafilu sif gimel, afilu nachash karuch ala kevo, lo yafsik. This is also a tough one. Even if you have a snake wrapped around your heel, should not be mafsik. Are we talking about a non-poisonous snake? Ramah, avol yochol leilich lemakom acher kadei sheipol nachash meraglo. You can walk away to try to get the snake to bother someone else. Avol akrov, but for scorpion, and by extension a poisonous snake, any creature that poses a danger, posek, then you could be mafsik. Lefishu muad yosir lahazik, it's more inclined to harm you. V'nochash nami, imrosh yukos umuchan lahazik posek, same thing with a snake, if you see that it's already angry, getting worked up, then you can be put mafsik also. You stop your davening, you walk away, you get rid of the mazik, and then you go back. Alright. Now,
you would continue where you stopped?
Yes. Yes. You should really finish the bracha that you're in and then keep going. Okay, from Sif Bey's Mashma, at first glance, Shemutu Lechas Bemsa Shmon Esre, Yerakamish Shashma Mashil Sakana. From the case of the Behema Karon, if the Sakana, you can actually move away. But Sif Gimel, it says, Mutal Lechas, even to get rid of something which is disrupting your davening, like a non poisonous thing. Again, how do we reconcile these two? Mishmur explains, Sif Katan Yud. Kol Asif HaZashach HaZashemasker Hefsek Mari HaKol Yidei Dibur. It means Hefsek Dibur, to speak. Speaking is the real Hefsek. Because what are we doing? We are davening. It's Dibur. Ava Aide Halicha, but to walk away, that's Mutter. Shehalicha Lo Nikra Hefsek. Halicha is not a Hefsek, especially when you continue davening. Then we don't say that it's considered an end of the davening.
I don't think there's kavana at that time.
Well, if you're trying to get rid of, if you're trying to get rid of the snake, you have to get rid of it and then go back to the davening. Correct. V'dafka hocha du letzarech l'asar nachash. After talina deminastam lo yesakana avol shalol letzarech mikra alicha gam ken k'tas hefsek ugmosh haposak amachabes sif beis. So again, if it's letzarech to get rid of the a snake, for example, even though it might not be a sakana, it's just a tirda, so that you can do. But the real hefsek we're worried about is hefsek dibur. Hefsek halicha is less of a problem. Klomar halicha hi k'tas hefsek. Halicha is a little hefsek. Dibur is a greater hefsek. Al kein muter lachachil kasheyesh bechatzorach. Ach b'mokam shein tzorach yesh lakpit shaloach b'emtzah tefilah shmona esrei. If there's no tzorach, of course you can't just go walking away. Now here the Mishnah brings a number of examples of walkabouts during shmona esrei. V'yesh legor b'chazanim she'okim imkom yom kippur mikshmagin el vanachnu karim. We say avoda. All right, no, the chazan shatz also has to bow down. Okay, so he says that you be the chazanim are rebuked if they move their feet. They shouldn't move their feet. All right, what do they do? Elamamidin lo shtender kenahug beinul tevo avoda misakan a shtender tzarech lakal raglov. If you just take away the shtender, here the Beis Medrash is a good example. You take away the shtender, and the chazan falls straight forward, and then he's lifted up. So he's not oker regel at all. Or betachanunim, meaning the tzar l'shonim era, or thereafter, does mutam akir l'tzarach mitzvah k'tzas. You can move your feet, you can uproot yourself from your davening, even if it's for the purpose of a small mitzvah. Kigon mashon nogim b'shlech tzibur, shetekev acha chazar satfilo oke raglo, v'yoshev l'tachan mkomo shenogim lo matachan yeshiva. Like the shatz, after the Shemoneh Esrei finishes, sits down for tachanun. All right, so say, what's the problem? Finished, right? Oh, so what's the end of the shatz of Shmon Esrei? Kaddish Tiskabel, correct. So too, v'chein ola lebima lekriyas haTorah afshal igia dan lakaddish im Tiskabel sheposeba gimel psios. Right. When the shatz finishes the Shmon Esrei, don't take the 3 steps back. The 3 steps back come after Kaddish. But here he's saying Tachanun. Here he's bringing the Torah. He can even get an Aliyah. Nonetheless, that's what he said, Tzarech Mitzvah Ktsad, so it's not considered uprooting the feet. All right? Third line from the bottom. Kasav olas tamid. Lacha shesima tefila kodim shom osa shalom. Ein isurim oka raglov lemitzvah ktsas. Gon shekibdu osa psichas aron hakodesh. But during Avinu Malkeinu, let's say you already said Hamivorech, all right, and there's psicha for Avinu Malkeinu or for something else. You can go up. Sha'olam choshem zek tzas lemitzvah. The veil thinks it's a mitzvah. When we come up, come near to Yishlam Hakadosh and Yilaratzon. You say Yilaratzon, that will be the end of Shmoneh Esrei and Akiras Regel. By the way, I was learning this before. It reminded me of the shiur I gave a few months ago about the Kohanim Duchening. The Kohen Shlech Tzibur. And you see that many people just dismiss, even Israel, trivialize Akiras HaRegel. all right, during davening. It's nothing to trivialize, because Akiras HaRegel, by definition, is the end of the tefillah. So if you get up and walk away, what are you doing? Oh, you said Tzarech Mitzvah? Okay, so then don't daven. You can't have it both ways. So here we worked it out, you know, Mashas Adchak, whatever, that he could stay in his place, stay in the place. And but I think in Israel, I've seen it a few times. I've never actually seen a Shatz go up to the Duchen, but he'll just turn around at the Shtender. But it's also a problem to have someone on the ground floor or other Kohanim on the Duchen. It's not a simple situation. Okay. Here you have, finally, from the Shei Yisrael, it's an encyclopedic work on Tefillah, a number of practical examples about possible hefsekim, interruptions in the davening. All right, one we did already. And here's the extension of the behema, the karon, the nachash, etc. Im omed fushma, person davening shmon esrei. V'yesh chashash sakonas nefashos, amshich l'sbab osu makom, and there's a possible danger to life. Kigon, for example, our case, an animal is pursuing him, a scorpion. Kelev shota, wild rabid dog, v'chadome, or, and sadly this is more practical, shashame yiriot, he hears gunshots. Oh, azakah, an alarm goes off, a siren goes off. V'tzarech l'rutz l'miklat, he has to then run to the shelter. Yikatze b'tfilah, he has to shorten his tefillah. Dehainu sheyomar techilas kol bracha v'sofa, just say the beginning, the first line. Atachonu das bracha d'Hashem chonu das. O yavu l'makamach v'yam shalom spal. Go right to the shelter, continue the davening there. The latter is probably preferable to the former. V'lo yavse b'dibur elam madaver hechari chila tzarchanin. You should be mafsik in speech unless it's necessary because of the sakana there. When there's no chash pikuach nefesh, el shemecha masapachar v'chadome inu yochol chay mitfil b'osel makom, or because of fear, some other reason, can't have kavana, yochol laver l'mokom acher l'hamshik mitfil oso, ach oso l'hamshik b'dibur. You could move anywhere to avoid a distraction. And we said last week that if you have a crying child in shul, you have to take the child out. If the guy's in mutun tam and doesn't, then really any person can walk out and continue his davening in a quiet place, because otherwise his kavana is ruined. Im kishayamshit b'tfilos yilo rak hefsek kaspi os lahafse b'emsa tfilo. What if the hefsek is some potential loss of money? How would he know? Well, he gets an email on his iPhone, right? No. Then you can't be mafsik for that. Hefsek kaspi does not matter. Hamispal Shmon Esrei, v'hischa telephone l'tzaltzel. Guy's davening Shmon Esrei, telephone goes off. I was here, we're talking about persons at home. Phone goes off. Makisha Medela, someone's knocking at the door. U'mechamas kein ein yachal l'chav mitzila, and he can't have kavana. Phone keeps ringing and ringing. Mutal l'lageshes b'sima brachi, finish the brachis in, go to the door, lift up the receiver. I think the person on the side really hates that. Lift the receiver, don't say hello. But then go back to your tefillah. You can answer the door, and they'll see you davening, pick up the phone, and that's that. Because again, what are you doing? Hasarat ha-tirda. Im nafal sefer ritzpo, b'emtzat tefillah shmon esrei. You have a sefer fall down to the floor. And it bothers him to see a sefer on the floor. Yochal agbi b'sima bracha shomay bo. You finish the bracha, pick up the sefer. If you're davening bal peh, u'v'emtzat tefillah his bal bel, you get confused. Mutal leches laron lotkacha sidur. You can go to the closet, the shelf, and get a sitter. So to the middle of Shmona Esrei, the same thing. If you have a doubt as to a din, you didn't say v'sen talmat levrachol, you didn't say mashavurach, etc. You don't know whether you have to go back or not. You can go look it up as well, what the halacha is, because that's all tzarech atvilo. Im nafal la'odem atalas me'algul from emetz atvilo Shmona Esrei. If your talas falls off in Shmona Esrei, im nishar chelik me'atalas olov, if part of it remained, you grab before it all fell off. Mutal olahag biho l'chzilm komos, you can lift it up, put it back on in its place. Ach im nafla kula af shadai machzik oso b'yado, if it all fell off, you're holding it in your hand, then you can't put it back on, because you need to make a bracha afterwards. You just hold it until after Shmona Esrei. L'sikum, hafsaka b'dibur muter rak makom pikuach nefesh, you could speak only pikuach nefesh. Vilu halicha muter l'tzarech hasarat mitrad, oh, l'tzarech hatfila atzma, gamber halacha v'chadome. To walking is allowed in many other cases. to remove something which is bothersome. For the tzarch of the tefillah, get a sitter, find out the halacha, etc., then halicha is hefsek tzat. Dibur is hefsek gadol. Okay. All right, we'll stop here. Pick it up in 2 weeks.